Now, a €22 billion hole in the state's finances, with 500,000 people out of work. That's the start projection from the central bank in its latest quarterly bulletin. Their forecast is based on a 3-month containment period, but it could be worse, obviously, if the measures to contain the virus are extended. Piers Doherty is Sinn Féin TD for Donegal, also party's finance spokesperson. He's on the line now. Piers Doherty, in terms of this forecast from the central bank, does it fit with the economic challenges you see it lying ahead for?
Yeah, I think it's it shows exactly where we're going to be. I talked to him a couple of weeks ago at the start of this crisis that the scale of this would be in about 10 to 15% of GDP, which is about the €30 billion figure. We're seeing what the deficit that has been projected is about €21 billion at this point in time, and obviously that has a number of caveats. That means that things go back to normal, or the restrictions are start to be eased or lifted in 3 months' time, and nobody is certain in relation to that, and also that the virus doesn't mutate in a different direction. But I think there's two things that we need to do. One is there's two phases to this. The first phase is containment, which is about supporting businesses and supporting the financial health of households, and making sure that the unemployment crisis doesn't cause a financial crisis within households. And the second part then is the stimulus that we need, the package that we need, which will be equal in size in relation to getting the economy back up and running, getting consumer spending back out and working.
Yeah, and it would seem from something that Taoiseach said that you and he mightn't disagree on much on this particular matter. He says Ireland is not facing an era of 2008 type of spending cuts. He said the objective, if I have anything to do with it, will be to avoid another era of austerity. What do you say to that?
Yeah, well, look, that has to be the objective, but that also has to be the objective, not just at government level, but austerity for individual people who find themselves out of work. And that's why we're still working with the government, trying to get them to amend the wage subsidy scheme to make sure that a lot of employees who are only getting 70% of their net wages, some of them are maybe up to €100 worse off than if they were on the pandemic unemployment payment, that needs to be fixed, because we can't leave people financially strangled over the next 3 months, and because that will also have a bad effect to the economy. There'll be less money to spend in restaurants and shops and retail and so on, where we need money circulating as quickly as possible. We've written to the Minister for Finance a number of weeks ago. We outlined a number of ideas, including the wage subsidy scheme. One of the other proposals that we put forward is that Europe needs to play its part, probably twofold. We see that the European Stability Mechanism has a role here in issuing debt for European countries for COVID expenditure. So the expenditure we're talking about is the type of health expenditure that's required to keep our people safe and alive, the wage subsidy scheme, the automatic stabilisers in relation to the increase in social welfare, and also stimulus packages that would be required to deal with.
What would be in those stimulus packages?
Well, I think there's a number of things that are very obvious. The first one is capital spending. We had a housing crisis coming into this pandemic, and we're going to have a worse housing crisis on the other side of it. We are seeing that the number of housing output will drop quite substantially this year because of the restrictions that had to be put in place. So what we need to do is we need to ramp up capital expenditure in a real and very meaningful way. That's in housing, that's in infrastructure, that's in roads, that's in rail, and so on and so forth.
Do you think
other challenges we have in climate and other areas?
Do you think there could be no pulling back from ambitious house building targets, for instance, despite the fact that we're going to have so much less money?
Oh, it's actually the opposite that we need. It's not pulling back. We need to ramp up. At a time when there is a lack of investment in the economy, the state needs to step in and stimulate. That is accepted practice. That is what will need to happen. It won't just need to take the form of capital injection. It will also need to stimulate in other ways. So, for example, the tourism sector, which is absolutely, wrecked as a result of the restrictions, and obviously will miss out in probably its peak period. We need to be looking at issues in terms of VAT rates. We need to be looking at how we inject confidence into people's pockets, because people aren't just going to, it's unlikely that people will just go back to normal, and that after spending, a number of weeks, self-isolating in their home, being restricted from meeting other people, that they'll start going to concerts or they'll start going to crowded areas. But we need people to try and get back to whatever the new normal is as quickly as possible. We need to support those jobs. And there will be other areas which we've written to the Minister for, and I see Patrick Holohan has started to write about this yesterday, and indeed the IMF the day before. In one of our letters to the Minister a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the idea that there may need to be debt for equity, which means that the state would actually end up owning or partially owning some of the major companies, because some companies have huge amounts of debt. Additional debt to them is not the solution. What they need is actually grant. What they need is free money. We've argued that the European Investment Bank needs to play that role in terms of zero interest loans. But for some companies, it may be a case where we just need to take shares and provide money to them as a result of that.
Meanwhile, the two other big parties, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, are attempting to put a government together. They seem to be making progress, according to reports, on a programme for government. They're still obviously short of up to 10 maybe votes in the Dáil to get over the line and have a working majority. Now, are you satisfied that, as of now, it would appear that neither the Greens, nor the Labour Party, nor the Social Democrats will be part of that arrangement?
Well, look, those parties will make their own decisions. We've always said that, you know, the worst outcome for this election, and it was an election for change, it seems like a huge time ago, but the election has to mean something. The worst outcome would be two centre-right parties going back into government and trying to maintain the status quo. And any option outside of that would be better than that option. Look, the reality is, and the difficulty we have in forming a government at this point in time, and when I'm talking about us, I mean the political system, is that these two parties are still practicing the politics of exclusion. They have made a virtue of the fact that they will not, under any circumstances, countenance Sinn Féin being any part of a government, despite the fact that we have a global pandemic, despite the fact that we have been nothing but supportive in relation to emergency legislation, putting forward ideas which the government have run with, in some cases have been ahead of the curve in terms of looking for restrictions, but very much eager and willing the government on, because look, when the Taoiseach succeeds here, when the Minister for Health succeeds, it means we save lives. So we want to be supportive, we want to be part of government. Obviously we have a lot of ideas and we have the ambition and we have the people, we have the talent to do that, but there is the two parties that are playing out the politics of exclusion in the middle of a pandemic, and that has resulted in us now not being able to form a stable government, not being able to pass emergency legislation.
But to what extent, though, Piers Doherty, would you say or accept that the smaller parties on the left perhaps have been dissuaded from joining with Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar in the secure knowledge they will face strong left-wing opposition led by yourselves from across the Dáil chamber?
Well, look, that's up to any individual party, and I don't think that
You've spooked them out of it, in other words.
Sorry, I don't think that other parties of the left, you know, are naive. They understand going in with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael as a smaller party. They understand what that means. They understand the dominance of how that government would look and how unlikely that any of their agenda would get passed. There is an alternative. There is a government for change that could still exist if the other parties stop their politics of exclusion. But look, that's up to Micheál Martin. That's up to Leo Varadkar. Yeah. And as long as they continue that, I believe what we'll have is a very unstable government at a time where we need stability, because the challenges ahead of us in terms of health and in terms of rebooting the economy, getting people back to work, are great, are immense. They're absolutely huge, and they are far more probably severe than what we were dealing in terms of the financial crash, because of the suddenness of what has happened over the last number of weeks.
One of the reasons, of course, that we had the election on the 8th of February last was that the government was facing a motion of no confidence in the Health Minister, Simon Harris. If such a motion were debated today, would you vote confidence in Simon Harris now?
Well, first of all, Simon Harris is a caretaker minister at this point in time, so he doesn't have, and neither does the government have, the confidence of the Dáil because of the election. But that's just that's a technical point of view. As I said earlier on, look, our job here as TDs...
There really is a one-word answer to this question.
I've already answered the point, and that's what I'm going to say again. I wish Simon Harris well, because Simon Harris, as Minister for Health, as the person who is in that position as Health Minister, Our job is to collectively work together to make sure that we have the resources, to make sure that we have the capacity, and that we keep people safe and healthy and save as many lives during this crisis as possible. Simon Harris is the Minister for Health. By him succeeding, we all succeed.
Do you think he's doing a good job?
I think in terms of the restrictions, I think they're good. I think we would have been very clear in this, Sean, that we thought that there was probably delays at the very start, but we're very much in the place where we need to be. I think now the challenge is in relation to more economic supports for workers who have been made unemployed, and we argued, for example, the 100% support up to €525. That wasn't what was delivered. Instead, we have this wage subsidy scheme, which is going to leave a lot of low-paid workers and lower-paid workers, anybody who's earning less than €500 per week, gets less than €350. And that's a huge burden on them, and it causes a different anxiety. So I think the pressures here are more economic than health at the minute. And as I said, there are issues in terms of PPE.
Right.
There are issues in terms of our frontline nurses, and we're working with Simon Harris and working with the government and trying to come up with ideas and solutions in relation to that.
Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin TD for Donegal and party finance spokesman, thank you very much indeed. Staying with politics, Niamh Lyons, good morning. Good to see you in studio again.
Morning,
the Labour Party leadership result out today.
And a very different way of determining that result happening. All the Labour Party members have been asked to send their postal ballots up to Mazars on Harcourt Street in Dublin 2. There will be a man...
Oh, there's posh.
Yeah, there'll be a man in a sealed room that has been completely decontaminated counting those ballots once the post starts to arrive from noon. That's Conor Power SC. He's the returning officer. He is the only person who will be in that room counting these votes. There will be no other access, and they're going to set up, many people now will be familiar with Zoom, that app that allows people to hold meetings and conference calls together. So the both teams for both Éilna Reardon and Alan Kelly will be able to look in on that counting process as it goes on. The counting itself, once they've opened and sorted all the ballots, will begin at about 2:15. If they get late post at 5:30, those ballots will also be included. And there's around 2,000 expected from their membership. And then journalists are going to be given about 30 minutes notice, and there will be a Facebook Live where the results will then be transmitted. So very sort of new.
Where will the candidates be at this stage?
The candidates are not allowed into the room. They're only allowed to watch.
Are they with their noses up to the window? No, they're not.
No, no shaking hands even for the winner or the victor. So it's been a strange campaign.
Alan Kelly will be looking at this from the comfort of his home in Portrow or wherever.
Yeah, and same in Dublin Bay North. It's been a strange campaign for them as well, because this whole campaign emerged, I suppose, from Labour needing to find their identity, and that process of hustings was meant to allow them to really get out on the trail. They don't really have the same kind of circuit as traditional party. Well, they're one of the oldest. They are the oldest party in the state. But
are there bookies odds on this?
I'm terrible at the bookies thing, but it does look like Alan Kelly. He was always kind of the favourite, and it does look like that he is expected to hedge it. I suppose the fact that Éilna Reardon was doing well on the hustings that had taken place, one in particular in Dublin Bay North, Éilna Reardon was seen as having won that. And this comes down to the difference between the characters. The fact that Alan Kelly, from a style perspective, is seen as that kind of bruiser. He's a guy who sort of knocks heads, whereas Éilna Reardon is more, I suppose, collaborative, conciliatory. And that message, the more people he met, his team would say, the more people he was convincing. At the same time, Alan Kelly was seen as being the person who could move the party forward.
In a moment of candour, I think he said a few years ago that power was a drug. Now, I mean,
yeah.
And which may have led people, or may be leading people in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, into the hope that maybe he might look again at the idea of Labour going in to be part of a new government.
Yeah, I suppose you would think that a new leader would have the best chance of leading his team in. But the truth is that there's just no appetite whatever about the grassroots, amongst the activists, the people that campaign, the people that would have gotten dogs abuse on the doors back in during the 2014 local elections, that's still very raw in the party. The fact that at that time in the Dáil, they were, you know, at their strongest, they still got smashed up against the rocks. Now they're only six. Let's not forget they lost a seat. And that notion that a Labour Fine Gael Fianna Fáil coalition, the opposition to that is Social Democrats, Sinn Féin and the Green Party. So where does that leave Labour? They feel they're in an existential crisis here. Now, there is some sense that perhaps some of the TDs, Sean Sherlock has been out on this already and said that perhaps in this time of crisis, Labour's voice does need to be there.
Was he perhaps flying a kite on somebody else's behalf?
Possibly, but at the same time, people are tacking Labour on without considering the kind of depth of feeling amongst party members about how damaging it could be for them. And I suppose, again, it goes back to the fact that they haven't really managed to thrash out this new leader. I think will feel far more comfortable on the opposition benches and rebuilding from there than trying to rebuild from the inside when, you know, at the moment, as we see from those exchequer figures, those unemployment figures, what Labour have always wanted to do and their heartland has always been, you know, raise taxes, spend the money on services. That's kind of what the government will be doing, but they have a good way of attacking the choices that are made and showing the alternative if they are the ones in opposition.
So, government formation then, with or without them. What about the next steps?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I suppose with Sinn Féin, as we've just heard there from Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin managed to galvanise that vote on the left so effectively and managed to convince people to transfer left. But that didn't help the Labour Party at all. Why? You know, they lost a seat when actually the Social Democrats massively gained from that kind of vote left. So I think Labour are actually quite worried about the Social Democrats. There is some sense, and I've heard this from a few people in Labour, that perhaps if Roisin Shortall, and we know she's a co-leader of the Social Democrats, she is speaking to Simon Coveney, the Taoiseach, at the moment. We don't know whether Labour and the Social Democrats themselves have had talks, but perhaps if Roisin Shortall can be convinced to come in on, say, a bigger role for Sláinte Care out of this health crisis, perhaps Labour would then feel comfortable enough to go in then too. So all of a sudden, I suppose you would have the government and it would take the danger out of it for both the Soc Dems and Labour when many feel that they're eventually going to come together anyway. But as we've just heard from Piers Doherty there, they're doing their best to scare off that notion, that sense is coming through that if we can't be in government and if you're going to block us, we're going to block you right back. And I think that's really put the frighteners on the Green Party as well. They really feel that, you know, this is the one opportunity to stay out and be the voice from the outside. At the end of the day, with this government formation, even though Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael do appear to be close to hammering out that document, Fine Gael in particular have said that they're not doing business unless there is a large majority. And we are just no closer to seeing to where that comes from. And when you look at, say, the likes of the regional independents, there are people among that cohort, say, for instance, Rona Murphy, Noel Grealish, Michael Lowry. They are technically Fine Gael DNA, but by the same token, would they allow themselves necessarily to be stitched in the same way as the Independence Alliance were? I don't think so. And the coalition isn't looking for people to support from the outside. They want to work people into that programme for government.
Well, as the old movie buff himself, Michael Noonan, no longer in politics, used to say, a lot can happen in the last reel. Niamh Lyons, thank you so much indeed for that analysis. The view from the United States on coronavirus after this break.